This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Were you aware of the length of a guy's arms in the week leading up? And if a guy has shorter arms, what does that mean for you?
You can tell. I mean, you can tell by the way they set sometimes. You can tell by, you can tell early in the game. And really, it's just I have access to their chest. And I don't have to worry about getting punched at the wrong time. Like, you know, pass rush is so much timing. It's so much landmarks. It's knowing when I expect to sink my move, whether it's a rip, whether it's a swipe. You know, and I was a swipe guy. And when you play certain guys with really long arms early in a game, what you'd realize, and I don't know if you ever noticed this at guard, Nate, like when a guy would have longer arms than you thought, you'd be on your second step, you know, expecting to sink your move on the third step, and you get hit in the head, and you're like, damn, this guy's got some length. And so that can be a real problem.
Former Patriots defensive lineman Chris Long, you know, for a year. Top two pick, right, in the draft? Was he the second pick in the draft?
High pick for the Rams back in the day, maybe when they were still in St. Louis.
I think he was, second pick in 2008.
Son of Howie Long.
He had a good career.
Won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Very good career.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a podcast now, as most former athletes do.
Who doesn't? Who amongst us doesn't have a podcast?
That's a fair point. Yep. The Greenlight Podcast, I believe it is.
All right.
So he was asked there by someone else, nameless, faceless, on his podcast, about arm length, and is that something you would factor in? He's like, oh, yeah.
He's
like, it's something that, as a defensive lineman, I would prep for, I would be ready for, I would play guys differently.
Really, because it's just I have access to their chest.
See, now that is... That is Chris Long discussing what he would do as a player to Will Campbell. He's just going to town on his chest is what he's going
to
do.
Not to interject here, but you know what my favorite part about being married is?
It's just I have access to their chest.
You know what Bill's favorite part about the relationship with Jordan is?
Really, it's just I have access to their chest.
I mean, that's nice.
Come on, let's clean it up a little bit. But in all seriousness, because we've heard a few linemen say, offensive linemen say, not that big a deal, right? Like David Andrews, he's like, not really not that big a deal. Like, you know, how good is a player? And others have said that. Where you have a DN who specifically is going to be lining up in front of or out to the side of Will Campbell and being like, yeah, it matters. So it still remains like the one of the biggest questions going into this season, right? Like what is it gonna look like at left tackle against NFL pass rushers week in and week out?
Yeah, and again, you hear over and over and over again, well, he had no problems with it at LSU in the SEC, which was the highest level of college football. That last part's true, although we've seen plenty of SEC players come in and fail. In fact, the Patriots drafted a short arm tackle from the SEC, Georgia, Isaiah Wynn, who came in and failed as a left tackle. So, like, we've seen it before. But the idea that he didn't struggle at all isn't true. He didn't give up a lot of sacks. True. But he gave up 18 pressures last year and had 9 penalties.
Right.
Because...
Right. Yeah, not a perfect prospect. This isn't Orlando Pace coming out of college.
And these aren't pre-snap penalties. These are holds. And so he's getting beat. And that did show itself on his tape. Now, maybe he'll be a great next-level left tackle. But I thought it was interesting to hear from a D lineman. You're right, Keith. We've heard from offensive line coaches and all the offensive line. Doesn't matter. Not a big deal.
Well, it's funny because like draft analysts.
But it's interesting to hear from a D lineman, a guy who had a lot of career sacks and was successful at this, saying, oh, yeah, I paid attention to it. I knew about it. I knew how to take advantage of it.
Yeah, so I still come down as like you can't ignore it, but it also doesn't mean without a doubt he won't be able to do it, right? Like I find myself like you have to take in these numbers, and if we're going back and, you know, since they've been measuring wingspan and arm length and all this stuff, and if nobody else has been a left tackle, certainly a successful left tackle in the league, you have to say, all right, well, maybe this guy's different. Maybe this guy has everything else that he's going to be able to do it where that won't be a problem. But you can't just be like, nah, it doesn't matter and it's never mattered. Like, well, clearly there's a history to it. And now you got a guy like Chris Long saying straight up, yeah, it matters.
No, and again, like there's plenty of people on the other side saying it doesn't matter and ignoring it. This is an example of somebody who played across from these long-armed and or short-armed offensive linemen, and he thinks it does. 617-779-7937. You could jump in on this. We got Would You Rather's 1130. Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon.
All right.
And more thoughts on the Patriots and their offseason. Mike Vrabel, cutting leaders left and right. Mm-hmm. But I want to go to Brian in South Kingstown on our Giannis discussion. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, hi, big Celtics fan here, but to say Giannis is a loser is you can't say that. No person has ever won a title with less than what Giannis has.
Not true.
He's who do you think?
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay. All right. I guess I can't really speak to that, but
I got a second one.
Like today.
You want a second one? Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
Kawhi Leonard.
Who?
Kawhi Leonard in Toronto.
Kawhi Leonard in Toronto?
Yes.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
I mean, who was Giannis's best player that he's played with?
Chris Middleton.
Dame Lillard or Drew Holiday?
Chris Middleton.
Middleton.
Damian Lillard. Yeah, Damian
no
Lillard.
Way.
Damian Lillard,
no
Hall of Famer. Drew Holiday, no, Hall of Famer.
Sorry,
Chris Middleton,
Brian,
All-Star.
On the team that won, it was Middleton.
It was Middleton and Holiday on the team that won. They were both All-Stars.
Okay. All right. I mean, yeah, they were the best players. But, I mean, they haven't gotten him help in years. Bringing in Dame Lillard, who's at the latter end of his career, he is.
Okay.
He really is.
Do you remember who they beat? Brian brought this up. Not Brian in South Kingstown. Brian, running Twitch today, brought this up before the show. Do you remember who they beat on their championship run?
I remember who they beat in the finals.
So they beat the Suns.
Who had only the bigger loser in the series and Chris Paul. That guy's an ultimate loser. How many teams has he been on that were like the higher seed that just choked it away?
I'm a Devin Booker guy. I love Devin Booker, but like, right, some one of
Chris
those,
Paul,
one of those two losers had to win. Oh, by the way, Chris Paul, big time loser. Wow, well,
one of the biggest without a ring.
While we're thinking up our tiers, potentially
Giannis,
for next week,
loser with a ring. Paul, loser without a ring.
Right, A-Rod was a loser.
Yeah,
A-Rod,
just two tiers.
A-Rod is a loser who happened to win.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of you feel the same way about Peyton Manning. Although Peyton Manning finished with a winning record head to head against Bill and Tom,
yeah, he did,
and he has two rings. I think Peyton Manning's. I don't know if he's.
I like Kevin Durant. To me, is
great
like
one.
That. Kevin
terrific.
Durant won too, but
terrific
with the team
one.
That, or, that won before him and after him.
You brought up Favre and Rodgers. They're both kind of losers that won.
Yeah, yeah.
And so here's who they beat. I don't remember who they beat in round one, but Brian was going over some of this. They beat the Nets in round two that year. My Brooklyn Nets that season. That was James Harden with one fat injured hamstring and no Kyrie.
Wow.
And if you remember that series,
1-7.
Kevin Durant. Or I'm sorry. Was that round two or round three?
Two. They played the Hawks. In the Eastern Conference Finals that year.
Trae Young.
And they swept the Heat in the first round.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they played the Heat in the first round.
Trae Young.
Yeah.
Loser.
Trae Young missed two games.
In that series?
In that series.
Okay.
Do you know who the leading scorer?
So, like,
so Trae Young was the leading scorer, but he missed two games.
Yeah.
Do you know who the second leading scorer was in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks on their way to the finals?
I'm going to know it when you, I can picture him, but what's the name?
It's Bogdan Bogdanovic.
It was a Bogdanovic.
Thank you.
It was
a flying Bogdanovic, brother.
Yes.
And then John Collins and Gallinari,
the
next guys.
If we're going to do this about the Celtics last year, and I think it's totally fair to do about the Celtics last year. The Celtics had an easy path a year ago. I don't think they're going to have it this year. The Celtics had injured players and guys who weren't out there. You can say the exact same thing. Exact same thing about the Bucks when Giannis won. Giannis went through an injured Nets team and largely another loser on the other side in Durant. He went through an injured Hawks team.
And Harden.
With an injured, right.
Good the league is just ripe with these guys.
An injured Hawks team.
Not Harden. No, I'm sorry. It was Durant and
Kyrie.
And Kyrie
who
was hurt.
But
Harden also
was Harden
hurt.
Was limping around on one hamstring in that series.
The big three there.
Looks like Blake Griffin was the third leading scorer for the Nets.
Okay. So, like,
I like Blake Griffin,
let's just
I mean,
be
was,
fair. Yeah. Like, Giannis has a title, but that was a really easy path. And he's a loser. Giannis is a loser who won. Expect to hear that tier next Tuesday. 617-779-7937. I thought Mike Reese had a good tweet about all the leadership out the door for the Patriots after they cut Joe Cardona yesterday, which I don't think is shocking. In fact, we mentioned it earlier in the week. We were talking about it on Monday.
Well, the second they drafted a long snapper, you're like, all right, Cardona's either going to retire or they're going to cut him.
Well, but what you heard is, well, they want competition everywhere. It's a late round, seventh round pick. It was a priority undrafted free agent. Like, that's some of the defense you heard for anybody who said, well, they might be about to cut Joe Cardona.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's what you heard. But a couple of days later, they just outright release him. Just like they outright released David Andrews. Both of these, I think, are weird.
Yeah.
But Reese tweeted out, with the releases of Joe Cardona and David Andrews, along with our guy, Keith, Dietrich Wise, and Jonathan Jones departing as free agents, the four longest tenured Patriots are no longer with the team. The new longest tenured Patriots are safety Kyle Duggar, outside linebacker Anfernee Jennings, offensive guard Mike Onwenu, all from the 2020 draft.
COVID draft.
Those are the
they
longest.
Have nobody pre-COVID.
They are
on the team.
No one pre-pandemic.
That's right.
On this roster. Good point.
So last year, to start the year, the Patriots had six captains.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
David Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Jawan Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah,
gone.
Bentley's another good one. Brissett should be a sneaky bad leader.
Terrible guy. Yep. Joe Cardona. Gone. Dietrich Wise. Gone. And Jabril Peppers would be the only one still here.
Why is he still here?
You see, I don't know. Maybe they felt like he should have.
That might have been the one I moved on from.
Is that a money thing? Because they signed him last year.
That might have been the one I moved on from first.
He is off the commissioner's exempt list.
He's
able to come back and play. But yeah, so they had six captains. Last year, it was, remember, they were either suspended, they were hurt, they got benched. It was kind of a mess anyway. And now you've just removed five out of six of them from the team anyway.
So, look, I have no problem with them.
This happens, though. I mean, you have a new coaching staff. Plus, you're also taking over a team that won four games in back-to-back years.
Listen, I have no
overall,
problem.
Overall, this is good.
Oh, well, yeah. I have no problem cutting Joe Cardona. I don't care. David Andrews, I thought, was weird. They released him. If he plays again.
I don't think he is.
So I don't think so either. But I'm just saying that one I felt a little. I felt like he deserved.
Let him retire, maybe?
Yeah, I thought he deserved a little more, to be honest.
I get it.
All these other guys, I don't care. I don't care that Jonathan Jones isn't back. Dietrich Wise, we talk to him every week. Don't care. Don't care about Cardona. I don't care about any of those.
Last year at this time,
another one. Don't care. Andrews, I felt a little different about.
Yeah, yeah. Last year, we were rolling our eyes at Elliott Wolf just re-signing all their guys.
Yeah.
So if the two options are re-sign all your guys or cut a million guys, I'll cut a million guys. Like, bring in new players. You had a big offseason in free agency. You drafted a million guys last week. So, yeah, I'm good with it. But it does speak to, like, what a real changeover. I mean, the fact that the longest tenured guys are from the 2020 draft and all of your leadership, which I'm not saying was strong leadership, it was just the guys that were in those positions, are all now gone.
Yeah, so it's twofold to me. I don't care that really any of these guys are outside of Andrews, which I thought was awkward. I don't care who your long snapper is. I never cared about Joe Cardona. I don't care now. You know, great service to the country, and we respect all of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as a player, I never cared who your long snapper was. Never, not once. And it's stupid to draft a long snapper when they drafted him. It's stupid that they drafted one now. Ashby, the kid they drafted in the seventh round, is dumb to draft a long snapper.
Although it's better than the fifth round, which is where I think they got Cardona.
It is better. That's better. So, like, I don't care they moved on from these guys. But it's clear Vrabel is making a decided effort to move away from the leadership of last year. And it's also clear they're scapegoating the decision makers a year ago, Mayo included, maybe even Wolf to a degree, as you suggested. He's the one who re-signed all these guys. They're making a concerted effort to do some scapegoating, some blame there as well.
Yeah.
On top of just getting the players out of the room.
But if you go back to last year, they basically thought that Bill Belichick and Mac Jones were the only problems because they got rid of Mac Jones, they got rid of Bill Belichick, and they're like, we're going to be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the exact same number of games.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, they're saying, all right, we're getting rid of the head coach, we're going to get rid of both coordinators, and we're going to get rid of a bunch of players. And like all the guys that have been here for a while, we're going to move on from that. So this is way more of a Band-Aid ripoff than even it was after removing Bill Belichick, the guy who was here for over two decades. This is more of a look around the locker room and be like, wow, there are a ton of new faces in here.
So we just mentioned Peppers. I'm a little skeptical why he's still here and they drafted a safety, so maybe his days are numbered. Do you think they're done? You think they're done removing leadership from a year ago? Because you heard this drumbeat.
No.
You heard this drumbeat early in the offseason, Keith. Curran told us. Curran gave us a bunch of names early in the offseason. We're like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Duggar and Ramondre were two of the ones that Curran mentioned.
So you started to hear this drumbeat early in the offseason from a lot of the beat writers. Specifically on our show, we heard it from Curran. But you'd hear this elsewhere, too. Vrabel's coming in. Guys who were leaders last year on the team maybe were too comfortable, and they want to get those guys out. And they're doing that. You don't think they're done? Who do you think is on the chopping block?
So
he's named two.
I wonder if it's going to be more of one of those, like, let's get into camp and we'll let it play out and these guys might not be guaranteed. Like Kendrick Bourne. Like, I don't think Kendrick Bourne's spot is a lock. I think the fact that he was good with Josh McDaniels in 2021 helps. But they just brought in two veteran receivers and a third round pick. Plus, they have all these young guys. So it might be a numbers game, but that's a guy that seems like a pretty good teammate and is an NFL veteran. But he certainly could be gone. I kept waiting for Jelani Tavai to be gone. Maybe there's like, oh, we're going to keep him, and then we think there's good value there. But after what he said at the end of last year, like, get rid of that guy.
Well, hang on. So the guys were questioned. So this is interesting now that you bring it up, because Nick said it first about
Tavai?
No, about, was it Duggar? No, it was about Peppers. I'm sorry.
Peppers.
The guys that are all here that were kind of questioning why are they still here, they all got contracts last year. So maybe ownership is stepping in on some of these.
Yeah.
But if Vrabel had his way, would Rhamondre be out? If Vrabel had his way, would Duggar and Peppers be out?
Seems like it.
Tavai's another one who's still owed money. So is ownership impeding that? Because
we didn't mention Godchow's another one. Godchow was on the team for he wasn't on the team for a really long time, but another kind of veteran guy on the team they got rid of.
Refresh my memory. What they gave him a deal, but did they give him a long term deal, or did they give him like a year?
Probably funny money.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Godchow flies in the face of that. Did they pay Bentley? Was Bentley part of the group they paid? Now they've moved on from him. I'm trying to remember. Mm. But some of the guys they handed money out to are still here, and so maybe if Vrabel really was able to do whatever he wants, which no coach or GM can do. You got to deal with an owner. If they really could do whatever they wanted, there'd be more names out of here, but maybe ownership is impeding on some of the guys they just paid who have guaranteed money still coming their way.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, really the only guy, right, that got re-signed was Austin Hooper. Like, all the guys that were on the team. That was one of the first moves of the offseason. Because you're looking at just, like, projected starting lineups, and, I mean, it's over 50% turnover. Right, like on offense, obviously you're going to have Drake May. We'll see what happens with Rhamondre, the tight end, and Onwenu. So it's basically 4 out of 11 spots on offense are going to be inherited guys. We'll see how the wideouts shake out, but I mean, there's a good chance it's, if healthy, Diggs, Hollins, and Williams on front of that. And then defensively, it's Barmore, Gonzalez, and for now, the safeties, Duggar and Peppers. But that's another one where you might have 7 different starters. I mean, you might have, out of the 22 quote-unquote starters, there might be 14 new guys.
It's a team that needed it.
Yeah.
By the way, just to mix this in quickly, for their offseason, the Patriots, according to Yahoo Sports, had the best offseason, free agency and draft combined.
Okay.
Number one in the NFL. They wrote, the Patriots had a bunch of holes and went to work.
True. They went to work.
It's a Friday night. The defense got a handful of new high-priced starters in free agency. The offense got juiced with offensive tackle Will Campbell, Trevion Henderson, and Kyle Williams in the draft. Steph Diggs was added in free agency. The New England Patriots remade their roster A.
They did.
So there you go. Best offseason, according to Yahoo. Vrabel has come in and changed things around, remade it in his image as much as he's allowed to. So how do you feel about the leadership change in New England? You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon. Justin Turpin from WEEI.com in the building last night. We'll get his thoughts on the Celtics advancing to round two. And let's do some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith. You
can get with Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keith. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll give you some Would You Rathers in a moment. Few texts here, 617-779-7937. Carmelo Anthony equals loser, all caps.
Yeah, a lot of gold medals, though.
That's a loser.
Hard to be a loser with all those gold medals around your neck.
Is he a loser who won? He won gold medals.
National championship.
He might be a national title. Thank you, Bill.
He might be a loser who won.
But it is amazing. For a guy that is like everywhere but the NBA, he's like one of the great winners. But in the NBA, he is one of the great losers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put him in a lot of different places and he'd win. Not professionally in the NBA.
No.
Landing Lala was a win.
Yeah, he was with Lala for a bit.
Yeah.
And their kid, Cayenne, I think, is going to Syracuse.
Cayenne?
I believe kind of like the Spice.
Really?
I believe Cayenne Anthony, right?
Nice. I was unaware of that. Good name.
I think he's going to, I think
we should have thought that one out. Kat and I should have thought that one out. That's not a bad name.
Cayenne Anthony. I believe he's going to Syracuse.
Somebody also says, I don't know, Keith, Olajuwon had Clyde the Glide when they won?
Yes and no.
Not
one year with him, one year without him.
Fair. So right. Eventually he got him.
This isn't my first rodeo here. That is a – go back and look at that.
I'm going to take exception to this other one, Keith.
The best players on the team were like Kenny Smith, I think, and
Vernon Maxwell.
And this guy.
The former Rockets guard. Vernon Maxwell takes it to the max before the game.
Great.
Yeah, he does.
The max. Yeah.
He hates the Jazz.
Yeah, right.
Well, he hates Salt Lake City.
True.
The whole state of Utah. Yeah, Mormons in general.
Yeah, no, he's pretty aggressive.
One more here. Dirk won with less than Giannis. How dare you?
Mm.
Jose Juan Barea.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Just dominated in that series.
They had the Matrix,
I don't want to hear about it.
Sean Marion.
Clamped LeBron.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Terry.
The Jet.
Yep.
That's close, though, actually.
Yeah, that's a good
Dirk
one.
Dirk and Giannis are probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Would you argue Jokic close?
I like Jamal Murray.
That's also a great one. That's a guy. Actually,
Jamal Murray or Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton.
I don't know. It might be a wash.
Yeah, it's close.
Okay.
I'd probably rather have Murray, but that is a close one. All right, Billy, let's get to some would you rathers. What do you have today?
All right, first one, would you rather have Rafael Devers or Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
So this is a tip of the cap to Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring will join us tomorrow at this time. He's in Toronto, so he tweeted this out. He had a little Twitter poll and everything. He's like, which player would you rather have, Rafael Devers or Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
Hmm.
I think the answer is obvious. I think Vlad? You probably... Yeah, I'm going Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I'm going Vlad.
He's a young gun. He can play first base. And so, you know, you can figure out something to do with Tristan Casas. And, you know, you free up DH for something else. I would rather have Vlad Guerrero. Now, the poll is 50.5% Vlad, 49.5% for Devers.
Kind of surprising. Wow, so Vlad... Wait, but that's... Vlad is winning that poll for Baseball Isn't Boring.
Yes.
Okay, so I would say that. You would say that.
I would.
That's got to be... I mean, I know Rob Bradford is a national brand. Baseball Isn't Boring but is a mostly national Red brand, Sox but it's followers, mostly... Yeah. Wow, so I'm surprised at that. I'm actually surprised
okay.
He's even winning on that. But I think people got that right, but that mm-hmm. surprises me. Mm-hmm. No, I'd rather have Vlad. You just said it. What's a bigger or a better fit on this team? And it's out because he just signed his big, giant extension in Toronto.
Yeah.
But what would be a better fit on this team? Vlad's a first baseman. Vlad's younger. I think he's a better... is he a better all-around hitter? I was about to say that. I don't know that I actually fully agree with that.
It might be.
I think it's close.
Yeah.
I would rather have Vlad.
His high-end seasons have been better than Devers' high-end seasons. Devers is a couple years older, but at least he has a position in the field that you can play him. And I know they have Bregman now, but they still are pretty. They still have a lot of left-handed hitters. So I think, yeah, you'd be better off with Vlad.
Red Sox bats. We're going to get to coming up.
Yes.
They have come alive. Bregman.
Yesterday was a good game.
And Devers included.
Yep.
All right. What's next, Billy?
Would you rather Mike Sullivan or someone without NHL head coaching experience as the next Bruins head coach?
So can I jump in on this? I was very adamant the other day when Sullivan got when Sullivan got fired. Well, no, I defer to Keefe. I want to get in there first.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was very adamant. I'm like, Mike Sullivan, that's a great fit. That's a home run hire. They've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So the more I dug in on Sullivan, I wonder if I was a little too bullish initially when he got fired as a fit here. Plus, the whole McAvoy-Sullivan thing would just be a weird, odd dynamic.
So the thing for people who don't know, McAvoy is married to Sullivan's daughter? Or they're going out? Or they're married?
They're married,
okay.
I believe. Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
So do you call him dad or coach?
Does Sullivan have to make him the captain? If he doesn't make him the captain,
boy.
Is that weird at family dinners? Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. So,
yeah.
But put that to the side. Sullivan, it's been a while since he's been successful. But to answer it the way the question is worded, would I rather Mike Sullivan or someone without coaching experience? I would rather Sullivan. Absolutely.
Okay.
Would rather have somebody who's done it, been there. I think this team needs that.
But the NHL's crazy with the amount of firings, but then the amount of retreads. It's like, you're fired, but like for the Bruins, it's wild how quickly those guys get picked up. Claude, Cassidy, and Montgomery were hired within a weekend.
Yeah.
It was like immediately got new jobs.
And I'm okay with a retread coach. I'm not necessarily okay with the same organization bringing back the same coach.
What
like, that's a bit much.
What did you think at the time of the most two recent hirings? Not Sacco, but they went with Cassidy, who was just their guy at Providence, who had a very small like cup of coffee. He did have NHL head coaching experience, but it was years ago, and it didn't go great.
It went really bad when he was in Washington.
Right.
Yeah, the players couldn't stand him.
So I was kind of like, I had an eyebrow raise at that, but then I thought he was excellent. I think he's still a great coach.
Well, and he's a little different because we got some runway with him to see how it went after Claude while he was actually coaching the team. I'll be honest, I don't really remember my stance on Cassidy. I don't think I had a big issue with that.
Okay.
I did not love the Montgomery hire, and
that was another weird one.
That went better than I thought it would have. I still don't think he's a great coach, and we'll see if the Blues go on a run here or not. They're even with Winnipeg right now.
Yeah.
I still think he's not a great coach, but it definitely went better than I expected to with him.
I think still I would take a guy, I don't know who it is, but a guy that isn't one of these retreads, and it's going to have to be somebody that's good with young players. So I don't know if that means it's a college coach or not, because they're going to have a million guys that are like under 25 on this team. What do you think?
They are.
Yeah.
I would be real hesitant to do that, but I've been wrong before. In that scenario.
But like, are you going to back the coach this time around, or at the first sign of adversity, are you going to blame them? Because I don't think Sweeney could possibly.
Well,
now, maybe he could.
What's easier for Sweeney to survive? You bring in some college coach and be like, oh, yeah, you know, he just wasn't ready for it. That ultimately puts the target back on you. But I think that's easier to survive.
Part of me thinks there's no way
he survives another firing.
But then again, then you hear Jacobs and you're like, I think he'd survive everything.
It's the Bruins. So
I think the Bruins will just keep Sweeney and Neely forever. And like, it won't matter with the coach.
He should have already been fired by now.
Right.
So I would never say never on that front. What else, Billy?
Would you rather have Drew Holiday or Derek White?
So we just saw three straight games without Drew Holiday. I think there is something about Drew Holiday in the playoffs that is, I don't think it was a coincidence at all that the year that they broke through and won the title was the first year with Drew Holiday. And you could argue that, well, Tatum and Brown are both a little bit better and whatever. I don't know. If you put Drew Holiday on their team a couple years ago, do they beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals? Maybe. Like, just that kind of calming influence on top of being a great perimeter defender and, like, a real point guard. So this is no disrespect to Derek White, who's awesome and, like, way better than I think anybody even thought he was going to be, with the exception of Brad Stevens, who traded for him. I'd take Drew Holiday,
so
I guess.
So me too. Yeah. In a vacuum, who's a better player, Derek White or Drew Holiday? Right now.
I think today, probably Derek White.
So me too. I think right now, at this point in their careers, Holiday's had a better career. Derek White is a better player in a vacuum. I think White is a winning player.
He definitely is.
I don't have a problem with Derek White. You know, speaking of things I was wrong about, didn't like that trade when it happened, very wrong about that.
Oh, he's great.
So I think Derek White is a winning player.
You want Romeo Langford back?
I think right now, I didn't want to deal the two first-round picks, which in retrospect was very dumb.
Yep.
But I think when it comes to Derek White, he's a winning player. Right now, he in a vacuum better than Drew Holiday, but at winning time for this team right now,
yeah,
I would rather Drew Holiday.
Yeah, because you're not starting a team from scratch, right? You already have Brown and Tatum and even Porzingis in this scenario, so if you had to pick one or the other, but
I think both
are going to come up with clutch plays, it feels like.
We saw what it looks like the last three games without him.
Yeah.
And we said this earlier, is anybody like dealing with anything? You see when White left the game for a while last night after taking an elbow to the head?
Yeah,
so,
maybe he, I mean,
I'd keep an eye on that. They have a layoff until they got to play either this weekend or Monday once that other series wraps up. But I would keep an eye on that. And let's face it, when Holiday was out these last three games, you didn't notice White a ton. You noticed him a lot in game one when Holiday was out there.
So on the text line talking about they'd rather have Derek White because he's younger. I guess, all right, so two different ways of looking at this question. If we're just talking about this playoff run, I think it's Drew Holiday. If the new owner comes in and it's like, we have to shed salary, we're getting rid of
Holiday's probably the first one to go.
You probably keep White for the long term. Right. I agree with that. It'd be a painful loss, but at least that would make more sense long run. But just for this playoff run, give me Holiday.
From a championship standpoint, I would rather Holiday.
Yeah.
What's our final question, Billy?
Would you rather bet on 100 humans or one gorilla to win a fight?
So this has been sweeping the internet for the last several days.
I'll be honest, I was unaware of this until last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because under a rock you've been living.
Our guy Gonzo was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
And so that's the only reason I was even made aware of this debate.
So people have taken a lot of time to consider how this would go. So you have one gorilla and you have 100 human. Now, the humans don't have weapons. The gorilla does not have a weapon. So you can't be like, oh, I'll take one guy with a machine gun. You don't have any guns. You don't have any of that. You don't even have a slingshot.
Yeah.
You have 100 just dudes wearing gym clothes. But you can pick the humans. So, Jones, some people are like, I would take John Jones. I would take Brock Lesnar. I would take all these guys.
You take a fictional human?
No.
Rambo?
Nope.
John Wick?
John Wick. No.
You can't take those guys. Okay, got it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme from Bloodsport. No, you can't take any of those. Real humans.
Yeah.
100 people, which is pretty overwhelming. You ever get like 100 people in like a room? Yep. A lot of people.
Yep.
Gorilla. One gorilla might be all you need. I don't know, because my first knee-jerk reaction is the 100 humans would actually win, but 50 of them might die.
Right. We had a promo about this. Not just die.
Oh.
Get their face ripped off.
Blood bath.
Ears ripped off. Like, if you're one of the lucky humans to survive and ultimately take out the gorilla,
you need to get, like, 50, like, death row guys that are going to be, like, ready to go. Like, listen, we have no chance.
You're just lucky that you were one of I'm with you on this. The humans would ultimately overwhelm
the
gorilla.
It's too many, 100?
But the people that the gorilla takes out, and there will be people.
Mortal Kombat, like, fatalities.
It will be ugly.
Yes. Yeah.
It will be gruesome.
Yeah.
It will not be the way you want to go out. So that now is just a numbers game. Did the gorilla come at you first because you're dead?
I think you need to like send waves at the gorilla.
Right.
And you would
want to be in the first wave.
No.
Because that first wave is dead.
What if this was like...
Oh, I think you all have to go at once. I think
this isn't a martial arts movie.
No.
One at a time, the gorilla dominates.
No.
But even 10 at a time, I think it dominates.
Well, probably dominates, but you got to somehow get in there and like hold them down.
You got to keep the legs fresh.
Everybody's like multiple people on every limb of the gorilla.
It's like bringing pass rushers in on third down.
Somebody's gonna be on its back trying to choke them out type thing.
Yeah. Because you got to get the everybody's got to hold
100 MMA guys.
That's what you need, 100 MMA, 100 heavyweights in there against this one gorilla. And that'd be...
So, no. 100 people win at the end of the day.
I think.
But it might...
Yeah, 70, they don't finish the day with 100 guys.
70... No, you're not walking out with 100 people.
No, you're not.
And the ones who are walking out are missing limbs and ears and noses.
Oh,
and
they're going to live the rest of their life remembering and knowing and being reminded that they fought this gorilla.
They have a great story.
Yeah.
A story to have.
It was me and 99 of my friends.
99 best buds. We got together.
Their face skin is gone. That's missing. Weird things have happened.
Anytime
orifices and things like this, like it's not good. You've had
the gorilla took his time with me. I'm not sure why.
You've had stuff flung at you that is just unspeakable.
Just taunting
like
me.
You don't want any of that.
So I think also where the fight is important. And I always in my head when everyone's like, who would win in a fight, this versus this?
Yeah.
I kind of think like open field.
Okay,
like giant open field. Because once you get into like
the gorilla's terrain.
Yeah, like
the mist. If I'm in the mist, this takes place in the mist.
I'm taking the gorilla in the mist if you're going to pin me down. But if it's like a football stadium and he's just like at the 50-yard line waiting for the 100 dudes to come out or women.
Yeah, gladiator style.
Then I think the humans would win if they work together.
Is Zagorny Weaver on your team?
I hope so. First pick.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
There's a chance that if I'm one of the 100 humans and I'm not in the first wave, but I see what happens to the first wave.
Oh, you bail.
I might just.
No. Can't have you a part of the team.
Conscientiously
you're locked in there. It's
I need 100 that are
Hunger
like committed
style.
To. Oh, cage match.
Yeah, steel cage.
Can I just?
You can't leave. You can't bail. Abort.
Well, I can like maybe hide.
It's like, well, we see 99 bodies here. We're missing.
I don't know if the gorilla will fall for you playing dead.
Oh, possum.
I wouldn't risk that with
just
a gorilla.
Just go possum.
I wouldn't risk that with a gorilla.
I think the gorilla.
Because again, the gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he's warm.
Yeah, he would take advantage
of the predator
at that point.
Yeah, no, he's warm.
You know what Jones would say?
Girl, they would have been taking me to the king.
So.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So again, open field.
It would have been.
100 humans should be able to win. There's so many humans.
We buried the lead, and assuming he returns for man-to-man-to-man next year, we could ask Christian
Gonzo
about
weighed
this
in
eventually.
On this.
But the only reason I was aware of this is that he weighed in on social media. He said, y'all crazy.
Uh-huh.
The gorilla's winning crying emoji. He's on the gorilla side, which to me, I ultimately think that he has taken a bite at everybody, literally and figuratively, but the humans would overwhelm and win.
One commenter saying, quote, the way my soul would have left my body.
Okay. Good win.
So you could do like 20 people at a time. Because like you can't run all 100 at them. Like
you're not going to get in there.
Yeah.
And then
you trip over yourselves.
Yeah, it's like kids around a soccer ball.
It's going to be bad. But you got to be committed to it.
But then also you want a little bit of like the gorilla doesn't know it's coming.
Oh,
like where are these people? Like 20 come in on a wave and then the gorilla's like, wait, where'd this other next wave of people come from? You want some of that.
But if it's like a ancestor of Harambe, he's going to be looking for justice.
I'm assuming it's I'm assuming.
Yeah, some connection to Harambe.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming you want with at least the
he's
personality
coming for blood.
A Harambe. Yeah,
it's dangerous.
Is the gorilla hungry?
Then I mean, yeah, I would say probably a little bit.
Yeah, hungry for human.
Working up for appetite for human
blood. I was just thinking you fatten them up before the fight starts.
Yeah.
So they're handing them chicken pot pies.
Yeah,
there you go. That is a would you rather on a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Celtics. Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. We got some Red Sox thoughts. Their bats finally waking up. We'll get to it next.
Pitch to Duran is drilled high and deep into right field. At the track. At the wall. Good. Bye. Drive down the left field line. Gone if fair. It is hooking. And it is out of here. Bregman goes deep.
Up pitch.
Is skied into right field. This thing is hammered. It's back at the track. It is at the wall. It is gone. Christian Campbell, Oppo Taco.
Pitch, swing, and he torches this one. And the error right. That's a punch. That's second deck. Raffy Devers. 2-0. And Willier swings, hits it high and hard. Right center field. Tharshow back. It's up. It's gone. They've hit 5 bombs in 3 innings. Willier Abreu salsas into the party.
Quick Red Sox update here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Celtics at high noon. Pure Hoops with Terp every high noon on a Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Text flying in, 617-779-7937 on the 100 humans or one gorilla.
It is pretty split.
It's more split than
that's
you
why it's
thought.
Such a great debate, because it's not one-sided.
My favorite text that we got in the last break was the gorilla is using two people as nunchucks.
Yeah.
Like the gorilla.
They could turn you into a weapon.
The gorilla is going to do something wild and unpredictable like that, where they're just whipping around the two smallest humans.
Yep.
And now they're taking you out. They don't care that it's broken bones and dead humans
anymore. What do you think the Vegas line would be? Humans minus like 120?
Oh, I was going to say 150.
150.
Yeah, you think that's two?
Gorilla plus 110?
Yeah, so.
So it's a buying opportunity or sucker's bet?
Ooh, I do think ultimately it's a sucker's bet.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy in on that.
Got it.
But if I was going to bet one side or the other, I want the juice.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Always.
Probably lose it, but I want the juice. So here's your Red Sox update. 5 home runs last night.
Good juice last night.
I read a stat today that didn't sound right to me, and then I reread it. The Red Sox lead the majors in runs scored in the month of April. Okay. They're third in baseball, though, now. They
you
are third
love
in
those monthly stats.
Okay, well, whoever I read, like these AP game stories or whatever they are, they must like use monthly stats. It's weird. But they're third in baseball.
Well, so they're going to be sad to see April go.
But, like, forget about that. So they're third in baseball now. They've turned it around. The last time they played the Blue Jays, they couldn't score. They were bundled up.
No, they scored more runs last night than they did in 4 games against Toronto.
Great point. They were bundled up like they were in the Arctic playing the Blue Jays earlier this year. And now last night, pretty much everything goes right. Duran leadoff home run, Bregman home run, Campbell home run, Devers gets in there, Abreu gets in there.
A lot of Wally head.
So much.
Yeah.
Crochet pitches exceptionally well.
Yes.
Aside from one home run that he gave up to Vladdy. And, yeah, you look at the Red Sox and you go, okay, they're in business. We called this a sneaky big series going in. We've been asking for the bats to wake up. And this is a good little measuring stick from the last time they played the Blue Jays to now. You still have 2 more games in the series. We got Giolito today. Hauk has been struggling. He's in the game tomorrow. So let's see where the series goes. But that's a great, great start to what we think is kind of a big series for them.
Well, yeah, because we looked at the 2 starters that go tonight and tomorrow, and you're like, man, giant question marks. Lucas Giolito hasn't pitched in forever at this level. And then Tanner Houck has really struggled, right? He had a good start in there, but for the most part, he has struggled. So what are you going to get out of those 2 guys? So when you got Garrett Crochet on the mound, and for him specifically, he was coming off his worst outing. And he threw a bunch of pitches, even though he didn't get too deep into the game against Seattle. So you were looking to see a better, sharper Crochet, which you got. And then the ball just flying all over the park. I think everybody, with the exception of Rafaela, had at least a hit in the game yesterday. So that was good.
I know you had him as the AL Cy Young. Is it possible Crochet has exceeded your expectations?
No, I thought he was going to be really good. I thought he was going to be nasty. And so did most people. I think he was behind Tarek Skubal as the Vegas favorite. Some of the other betting sites had him as the leader or the co-leader to have the most strikeouts in the whole Major League season. So, no, I just wanted to make sure that he was just getting the ball every 5th day. Because I thought if he was out there, he was going to be dominant. No, he's been as advertised.
Yeah, I would say at worst, he's met very high expectations. And it's possible he's exceeded for some out there. The only game he really struggled in, Keith, was the one we were at. So you keep you keep us away from Fenway Park.
Right.
His splits independent of Jones and Keith.
Yeah.
Doing pretty well.
So 7 starts, 4 of them hit the quality start metric. He has a 2.05 ERA. He's 3-2, and he has 50 strikeouts in 44 innings.
Nice.
Like, he's right there. Like, that's kind of what I was hoping for, and that's what he's done.
Yeah. So, as you said before the year, just stay healthy. He's going to be in the Cy Young mix. 617-779-7937. You want to jump in on the Red Sox, their bats waking up against Toronto. We called it a sneaky big series. Still 2 more games in the series, but a great start last night. You can jump in there. And it's approaching high noon on a Wednesday, which means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp next.